to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. I'm so excited to be here with you today. My levels were too low. As you know, I don't edit stuff out of this podcast because even if I sound stupid, at worst, it ends up being funny. So, like, you know, I can kind of work with that. When I started this podcast, I got to tell you, I mangled the word excited. Like, I can't even reproduce it for you because I messed it up so bad. And since the levels were too low, I had to restart it, but I didn't want you to think that this was all of a sudden a super professional operation over here. Welcome to the Hey Zach, Why Is This Podcast Late Again edition of the podcast. My bad. I went on a trip for my birthday that was on Sunday. I'm going to assume you said happy birthday, and thank you. And got back very late and then made the mistake of having to go to work in the morning, which means I couldn't get my voice out to you fine people until right now to talk about one of my favorite episodes of NXT in quite a long time. I have a lot of stuff to make fun of this week. I have a lot of stuff to gush over this week. It's a good mix of wrestling is dumb and wrestling is great. And you know wrestling is dumb, wrestling is great is my favorite thing. So, before we get started, as always, you can find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling and other fun stuff over there. You can wish me a happy birthday. You can curse at me for the podcast being late. Those are all acceptable. A lot of stuff from Twitter ends up on the show. I don't feel as though I miss too terribly much. WrestleMania is just about set. Bobby Lashley's the WWE champion. We're going to get him and Drew McIntyre more than likely. We're going to have Edge and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Before that, we're going to have Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan at Fastlane. For a confluence of reasons, Edge is upset that Daniel Bryan is getting a shot at the championship. And I see a lot of people mad at that, or not understanding why Edge would be upset that somebody else would be getting that opportunity. And it doesn't really make sense in terms of the story they have told, but from a storyline perspective, if I'm Edge and I won the Royal Rumble and I earned the right to challenge any champion that I want at WrestleMania, I went to every show, I confronted Finn Balor and Pete Dunne on NXT, I confronted Drew McIntyre on Raw, and Roman Reigns on SmackDown. And Roman Reigns is the only one that personally did anything to me. He disrespected me, he put me down, he attacked me, and so I chose Roman Reigns. Because my measure of revenge is not just spearing you and not just having one match with you. In Edge's head, his goal would be to beat Roman Reigns, to embarrass Roman Reigns on the biggest platform, on the biggest night that they're going to have, to beat him very badly to teach him a lesson, to embarrass him on a pay-per-view, and most importantly, to take his championship from him. And if I'm Edge, Daniel Bryan put up a little bit of a fight after winning an Elimination Chamber match and immediately having to face Roman Reigns. Not much of a fight, it was only 2 minutes or something, but he put up a little bit of a fight. And so there's a chance that Daniel Bryan could be the Universal Champion. Now, you and I know that's not happening. We know very well it's going to be Edge and Roman Reigns. But the person who does not know that is Edge, the character. Because if Daniel Bryan wins the Universal Championship at Fastlane, I'm now confronted with either facing Bobby Lashley, who I have no particular problem with, and honestly is the least desirable of the three, physically, to fight, or I have to face Daniel Bryan, who I have no beef with. I could have a good match with him, but that's not a personal issue. Or I could face Finn Balor. There might be an NXT title match on WrestleMania, but let's face it, it's Edge. He's not challenging for the NXT title. So if I'm Edge, yeah, I'm a little bit upset that you're giving a championship opportunity to somebody else that could derail my whole plan and the reason that I chose to go for the Universal Championship. So yes, it makes sense that Edge would be upset about that because, one, Fastlane was supposed to be a tag match where I got an opportunity to learn about Roman Reigns and get my hands on him. You took that away, and now you're giving Daniel Bryan the opportunity that I earned by winning the Royal Rumble. So yes, it makes perfect sense that Edge would be upset about that if you think of his character and not just think of it in terms of the story that they're telling. But enough about WrestleMania. We got more important things to talk about, like NXT. We start with William Regal in the ring in the Capitol Wrestling Center. He says he has two announcements. The first announcement is that NXT Stand and Deliver. I cannot decide whether that is a great name or a terrible name. I'm leaning towards not great, but it's not objectively offensive to me. Stand and Deliver is going to be their next special, and it's going to be two nights to match WrestleMania. That is going to be a fantastic card because every NXT TakeOver or TakeOver-like show that they do is great. They usually don't have very many matches on the card. This time they will because it's two nights, and NXT specials have always been more enjoyable to me than whatever the main roster happens to do after it. So give me two nights of it. I'm absolutely fine with that. The next thing that he does makes everybody look like a dork, and it's dumb, so let's talk about it, huh? Regal's invited all of the women to NXT, of NXT rather, out to the ring. And all of the people that hated each other a week ago are now standing calmly on an entrance ramp together because they're all of a sudden all really good employees. And Regal says that each night these ladies prove that they are the greatest in the wrestling business. Small point, it's weird to call them ladies. I'm going to say like women would have been a better choice of words. Personally, ladies feels weird. Ladies feels like a 1950s wrestling card, and the announcer is like, and now a ladies match, like it's a little person match, like an attraction match. But each night, these women prove they are the greatest in the wrestling business. I happen to agree with that statement. That's probably the best women's division anywhere. He says, to compete here, you have to be very special, and they prove it each week. You don't necessarily have to be very special. You have to be very good. You don't necessarily have to be very special. One of the women was kidnapped by a thing that looks like Sub-Zero and is now like a ninja mixed with a Manchurian candidate. So like, not necessarily special, huh? You just kind of have to be really good. Regal says as the winners of the Dusty Tag Team Classic, Raquel and Dakota, Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai, he asked them to join him in the ring. And they do. And they both have to act like they don't know what's happening, even though Regal is standing in a ring with a table, and there's something under a black sheet, and that thing sure is shaped a lot like two championships under a black curtain. But they have to almost pretend they don't see the table at all, and have to just be like, oh, I wonder what this could possibly be. Regal says, after the unfortunate happenings of last week, I am sick and tired of waiting for other people to make decisions for me. So if you don't remember, last week, Dakota Kai was being choked out by Shayna Baszler. She tags in Raquel Gonzalez. The referee does not see the tag, so Dakota's still in the chokehold and passes out. Now, you could do a few things there. You could just say, oh, shucks, that sucks, and move on. You could have one of those rematch things that they do, which would be the only acceptable reason to do a finish to a match that is so bad that it makes me forget about a pretty good match. I don't know, maybe like if you had like a two-night spectacular event that was coming up and you needed a match for that and needed a big moment, maybe the NXT women could finally win the tag titles that you're not doing anything with anyway because Vince doesn't like dude tag teams. He definitely doesn't like lady tag teams. You could do that. The third option is one that, we all like knew was coming but didn't, I assume, want. Because Regal now says the NXT team has made a decision ourselves. That made me laugh because in my head, the NXT team is William Regal, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Road Dogg. It's just a bunch of old white dudes together in a room trying to make important decisions about the future of the women's division. He says, because they won the Dusty Cup, you two are now the new NXT women's champions. Well, women's tag team champions. He takes that sheet off, and the things that were shaped a lot like championship belts are, in fact, championship belts. They have, looks like white straps because they're women. How else would you be able to tell? They say NXT on them. They're small. They're unimpressive looking because they are unimpressive because these are consolation prizes. This doesn't feel like a big deal because it's not, because they had an okay match with a horrible finish last week. And then we're gifted these titles because NXT, in storyline, as a company, couldn't get a rematch with the big bad main roster. So in storyline, what they have told us has happened is the wrong team was declared the winner last week. Now, if that were a women's tag team versus a women's tag team on the main roster, that would mean that a rematch is coming up. Because it is the women of NXT, again, in storyline, William Regal called whoever you think the William Regal of Raw is. Let's say it's Bruce Pritchard or Vince McMahon, and said, we need a rematch. This is not okay. And then that person laughed in William Regal's face. And the reason they laughed in his face is because in storyline, NXT is not as important as Raw or SmackDown, and is such a joke that they couldn't be bothered to send their women's champions back at any point or get any kind of commitment from that main roster to send them back for a match that had a screwy finish. So awesome. They couldn't get their rematch. These titles now somehow mean less than the WWE women's titles. And I really want you to think about that, because you don't remember anything about the WWE women's titles except that one time Sasha and Bayley had it, and the only reason they had it is so that they would have a reason to break up and fight each other. And that's been the one time they've been remotely important. Remember when people were like clamoring for these women's tag titles, and they may or may not have planted signs in the crowd that said, we want women's tag titles, so that they could unveil them, and then just didn't have an idea what to do with them? Because I don't know if you remember, there's both a Raw and a SmackDown men's tag team champions, and I'll bet you $5 off the top of your head you can't tell me who they are. And I know that because I'm pretty sure it's the Hurt Business, and I'm going to guess the Street Profits still, but I don't know, and I'm not going to look it up because why would you? Why it doesn't, it's not, I know you guys don't care, and so, like, I don't know why I would. And so, a level beyond that is a women's tag title when you don't have a women's tag division, and a further level beyond that is, like, your Division 2 now women's tag team division that's only a tag team division because you couldn't get somebody to pick up the phone. So it's going really good. These titles won't always mean less because NXT might focus on them more and they're going to have better matches. This is a joke. Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, who were also in that tournament and didn't win, come in and challenge our new champions. And Regal says, you women make my job so easy. And Regal makes the match for later tonight. Now, I wrote that in the past. Hi, this is Future Zach. I'll give you your $5 back if you could tell me what happened in that match. Because as soon as I heard it, I knew. And that's not a I'm so smart thing. That's a I can't believe you did it this way thing. So I'm going to assume you got it right. And I'm going to call us even on the money. Up next, we have Io Shirai defending her women's title against Toni Storm. I forgot that this was happening this week. They are given a lot of time, and they have what is either 1A or 1B on best match on this show, because Io Shirai is fantastic and always delivers. Toni hits her finisher, and Io kicks out Tony desperately goes up to the top rope for a splash, but Io moves out of the way and puts Tony Storm in like a crossface. Tony has to tap out. And so now Io Shirai has beaten Tony Storm, so that's over. She's beaten Mercedes Martinez, that's over. She's beaten every challenger that she has come across. And now there's presumably nobody left, except there is, because Raquel Gonzalez pinned her in the War Games match. That hasn't come back around yet on this show. It will. And so she has her new challenger now, but she had to clean up the Tony Storm part of this story. Tony Storm is very good. Tony Storm doesn't need to beat Io Shirai. There's somebody else on the roster that kinda does. Kinda. But for now, Io is still your women's champion. Finn Balor's doing a vignette. Not sure if he was supposed to be in the building or if it was just a separate thing. He says that Adam Cole now is a one-man show. He said there won't be anyone to hold you back anymore. That's true, but also won't be anybody to have his back. Finn says when it comes down to it, tonight it's just you and me, face-to-face, for that. Points to the championship. I didn't need to tell you that. You knew that. He says, I beat you to win that. And I'll beat you to keep it. It's real short to the point. Finn's really good at these. These vignette-style interview things they do always work really well. NXT uses them a lot. The main roster doesn't use them a lot. And that's why a lot of times big NXT matches can feel bigger than big WWE matches. The presentation is different. Okay, so guess what's next? It's Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart challenging Raquel and Dakota for these new, very important, historic tag team titles. And I said historic very purposely there because during this match, I heard the word historic a lot because the WWE loves a few things. They love saying something is historic just because they didn't do it before. And they love making a big deal out of something that they should know better and is a bad idea. But instead of just being like, okay, this is a thing that's happening, they have to go, no, idiot, you don't like it because you don't understand how big of a deal this is. This is the first NXT Women's Tag Team Championships, and that's so many qualifiers in a row that I hope that you feel what I feel, which is it's a phrase that I have trouble conjuring without swearing, which I can't do on this podcast, and I would never because I'm a respectable gentleman. But it's like a hyperbolic joke. And WWE does that a lot. If they ever have a bad idea, their solution is to do that bad idea but louder. And so a consolation joke of a championship or championships becomes a historic night in NXT with the first ever women's tag team champions. Those words don't mean anything, but if I say them to you with just the right tenor, tone, and volume, it kind of makes it seem like it is for a second. And I just want you to know it's not. Here's the thing. Get this. So Raquel has Ember up, I think, for that powerbomb thing that she does. It's either a powerbomb or a chokeslam. Either way, she does it with one arm. It's like halfway between those two moves. Shotzi pushes Dakota Kai into Raquel Gonzalez, which sends Raquel and Ember Moon over the top rope. I didn't write that down. I just had to do that off the top of my head. I'm very impressive. And then Shotzi Blackheart rolls up Dakota Kai, and Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart are your new women's tag team champions. Just to repeat really quick, Shotzi Blackheart rolled up Dakota Kai. Shotzi and Ember are your new women's NXT tag team champions. Nailed it. I'm not going to tell you anything else about this match because who would possibly care? I would like to tell you that as she goes to the top rope to celebrate, or the second rope to celebrate, nobody goes to the top rope to celebrate, that would be dangerous. The announcers say that Ember Moon came back to NXT to make history, and she has here tonight. And I laughed at my computer screen, and my dog was confused why I was laughing. So to be clear, she made history by being the second woman to be a tag team champion on the same day for a championship that was created because you're a second-rate show in storyline. So the history that she came back to make was not to be the NXT Women's Champion. No, 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 no. No, no, no. That's stupid, you idiot. She came back to be the second set of women's NXT tag team championships for a new championship that we just made up. There have been two sets of these champions in one show, and if that does not tell you everything that you need to know about them, I don't know what else to tell you, kid. Adam Cole's in the back. Adam Cole says Kyle O'Reilly stepped out of line and was put in his place. He said Roderick Strong played tough guy, and he reminded both of them who the leader of the Undisputed Era is. Adam Cole says Undisputed Era is dead. When I say it is, I just removed the dead weight. I think it's hilarious that nobody has mentioned Bobby Fish once. I don't know if Bobby Fish did something, or if he's just a jerk, or if he's injured, but Bobby Fish shows up very randomly and very infrequently, and when he's not there, it's like that X-Men whose only power is when you are not looking at him, you forget him. That's Bobby Fish. I don't remember what that guy's name is. It's not important, but if you're looking at him, you know he's there, and as soon as you look away, you forget who he is. And that's Bobby Fish. And I'm confused as to, like, if Bobby Fish did something or if he's just hurt right now. And if he comes back, he's going to be very confused about what's been happening because Bobby Fish in storyline doesn't show up. So I don't think Bobby Fish in storyline is watching the show. But Adam says that he removed the dead weight by removing the only two full-time members of the Undisputed Era that show up every week. He said, Finn, you think you've got me where you want me, but I played you like a fiddle. It's always been and always will be about the NXT title. He said, people looked at you as the greatest NXT champ of all time. Then I came along and with my, I think it was 403-day reign, I am simultaneously proud and not proud of myself for pulling that out of my head. And I became the greatest NXT champion there's ever been. And tonight, I will become a two-time NXT champion. And Finn, if you thought my first reign as champ was special, trust me, you ain't seen nothing yet. I thought about this for a minute, and it's hard to decide. I think right now I might give the edge to Adam Cole as the best NXT champion of all time, but I suspect by the end of this run, it's going to be Finn again, because Finn did a lot for the NXT title the first time he was champion. He's done even more for it this time because there's no demon. It's just Finn being a cool dude and having really good matches. And his matches tend to be a little more believable than Adam Cole's, and a little bit more gritty, maybe, and realistic, like more realistically dudes punching other dudes in their underwear, I guess, is ridiculous as I'm saying it, but I think Finn is going to end up being the greatest NXT champion of all time, but I think if you're putting Finn first, you're putting Adam Cole second. I don't really know who else you'd put in there. Nobody else was... Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe. There has been a lot of NXT champions. There haven't been a lot that have just, like, reigned supreme. So, I guess it kind of depends, but I think it's going to end up being Finn Balor. We're in the back, and Dakota and Raquel are being interviewed. They start to say something. Raquel Gonzalez, with a straight face, upset, says it doesn't matter if it was 5 minutes, 5 months. We were the first tag team champions in NXT. And I thought they were just both dead in the water, but, and I don't know why, but Io Shirai walks in. She says something to Raquel Gonzalez in a language that I do not speak. And then she says, I want you next. Raquel pauses for a moment before saying, be careful what you wish for. So to recap, Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon are champions that mean nothing Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez are dorks that were gifted championships and lost them on the same night, but Raquel's okay because she might end up as the women's champion. So your lowest common denominator in this story is now Dakota Kai. Everybody was hurt by this, and everybody came off worse. It's okay for Raquel because she might be the next women's champion. She's going to fight Io Shirai next, and she's the only person I see on the women's roster at the moment that it would make sense for her to beat Io Shirai. It would put Raquel Gonzalez over the top. Raquel is big and strong and powerful and believable, and Raquel has pinned Io Shirai before. I don't know why Io Shirai challenged her out of the blue, other than Io Shirai is a crazy person, and she's fantastic, and she just wants to fight somebody. Like a punch the biggest guy in the prison on your first day kind of thing. But I think Raquel's going to beat Io Shirai for that women's title, and I imagine it's going to happen at Stand and Deliver. So if that's the case, I'm cool with that. I don't know what you do with Dakota Kai now, because Dakota Kai's a big old dork now, and Raquel's moving on. If that's what we were doing, why did they need to hold the tag titles? They could have had a tag match, the same one that they had, except don't make Dakota and Raquel tag team champions, and then it doesn't matter who wins. The championships are like still jokes and consolation prizes, but you don't hurt the former champions by having them lose it. If this is where we were going to end up, I don't understand, because the way it's done has only hurt Dakota Kai now. I don't know, dog. Sorry, Dakota Kai, I guess. Adam Cole's out for the NXT title match. Listen, I know he isn't going to win, and you know he isn't going to win, but I also wouldn't have been, like, super mad if he did win. It wouldn't have been the right decision, but I wouldn't have been furious. It would have made some storyline sense to me. It would have sucked, though, because his next match would have been Kyle O'Reilly, and Kyle's already had the two NXT title matches, and now Finn Balor can kind of move on. They get a lot of time. They have an excellent, excellent, excellent match that I want you to go back and watch. I don't care if you've seen it. Go watch it again. Coup de grace by Finn Balor, and he wins. I was surprised that it was a clean in the middle of the ring win, because Kyle O'Reilly now appears at ringside, and I'm surprised he didn't show up very much or very immediately during the match. That's very respectful of him. I can't say enough good about this match and the stories, two of them specifically, that are coming out of it. Finn is sitting in the corner. He sees Kyle and gestures for Kyle to have at it, and Finn sits in the corner and grins. Adam Cole's on a knee apologizing to Kyle. Kyle sure doesn't care. Adam Cole is apologizing and tries the low blow again, but Kyle catches his arm and he takes off the Undisputed Era armband that Cole wears and just starts beating the hell out of Adam Cole. They have done this match in this feud outside of WWE, and with all of their history, it's only going to be better, and it's going to be in NXT, so they're going to get enough time and be able to do what they want to do. Adam Cole gets in like one cheap shot, and then Kyle comes back at him. He throws a referee off of him. He runs Adam Cole into both sides of the entrance ramp. He yells, "You did this. You did everything." He says, "You try to end my career." And he goes to do what I think was going to be like an elevated DDT or a suplex onto the ring steps. And then the referees pull Adam Cole down and separate them, but he breaks away. It takes four grown man referees to hold back Kyle O'Reilly, and he still escapes and runs after Adam Cole in the back. Meanwhile, Finn Balor has stood up, and he is standing there with the NXT title. And they do that shot that they do where you're looking at the champion, and there's like empty space behind his shoulder. But the way they turn the camera and the crowd reaction indicates to you that somebody else has joined him in the ring. And at that point, we knew very clearly what was happening, but it was done differently than they usually do it. So you're looking at Finn Balor. He has the championship and he's looking on amused. And then the camera turns slightly, but you don't see anybody yet. But just by the way the camera turns and the reaction, you realize somebody has joined Finn behind him in the ring. Finn Balor also realizes this because Finn Balor's not stupid. And what's interesting here is that Finn Balor does not turn all the way around. Finn Balor realizes somebody is there. He looks a little bit over his shoulder, and I'm going to choose to believe he doesn't see who it is, but knows who it is. And all he says is, "What took you so long?" Karrion Kross's his arms folded. He's just staring ahead at him. This is way better than having Scarlett just come out and throw tarot cards at him or whatever. They go face to face as the show ends. This helps Karrion Kross because he's back in the NXT title picture. This helps Finn Balor because that was an incredible way to address that. I've never heard them go, "What took you so long?" That's a great way to face off against a monster. Best way to fight a bear if you have to is just to give it all you got. That's probably also going to be at Stand and Deliver. I could see Karrion Kross winning. I sure hope he doesn't because I love what Finn Balor's doing. But that's it for NXT. We have Stand and Deliver coming up pretty soon here. We have some interesting title matches that are going to go into it, and we have more to hash out next week on NXT. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter. Again, I am always at ZACHNXT. We're always talking about wrestling and other fun stuff over there. I pinky promise the show will be on time this week. No mountain trips to distract me. In the meantime, that's it for the shows. That's it for me. I've been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.